the Kentucky Derby yesterday. Oh, okay, good. Audrey, do you know who won yesterday? Some horse. Yeah, it was some horse, a fast one. It was a horse that no one had ever heard of. Even people who were following racing never heard of it before. Rich Strike, my gosh, 80-1 odds. 80-1 odds. Can you imagine if you were a gambler and you said, I just feel lucky today. I'm going to put my money on this horse that no one's ever heard of before. Wow. Somebody's rich. Yeah. Believe me, there's a lot of rich. Having lived for a short time in the state of Kentucky, not far from where this horse was born, actually, I went to school. For those who don't know, my seminary days were in central Kentucky, right in the bluegrass state, in the middle of all this horse country. And yeah, there are some people who've got some money. Believe you me, they've got some money. And it was a pretty amazing thing. So I watched the Kentucky Derby because of that. Every year I watched the Kentucky Derby. I couldn't care less about horse racing. I'd never heard of any of these horses before, but it was kind of fun to see. And I always love to see the underdog come out on top. For those who didn't watch, it was a great down the stretch. The two lead horses that everyone expected were going to be fighting for the lead, and they were out in front, and all of a sudden this horse that no one had ever heard of just came blazing out of nowhere, right across the line. It was remarkable. So I'm glad now, so if nothing else, when you go home today and you say, what did you hear about at church? Oh, we talked about horse racing. You'll say, what kind of church do you guys go to? Today we're going to be looking again, we'll talk about something other than horse racing. We are going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6. This is where we have Jesus teaching us how to pray. What comes out of Jesus' mouth at this point is something that often many of us have come to learn and know. Sometimes, depending on our tradition, we refer to it as the Lord's Prayer, or maybe we refer to it as the Our Father. However you refer to this prayer, it is something that has become part of church tradition, church teaching, because it is what Jesus taught his disciples when they asked him how to pray. Now, again, as I said last week, for those who were here last week, part of the struggle with that is oftentimes we misappropriate what Jesus meant by that. We begin to say, okay, so I'm going to simply pray these words, and somehow if I pray these words as some sort of a magical mantra, then I'm going to get whatever it is I'm praying for. I have no idea because I'd forgotten what I was even praying. I'm just going through the motions and saying the words that I've been taught to pray before. But that's not what Jesus intended. He didn't say, pray these words. He said, pray like this. And so when we look at it, we can begin to see that this prayer is really intended to be, for us, a model for prayer. And again, like me and probably most of you, there is room for growth in our prayer life, isn't there? Probably one of the things that most Christians struggle with, and in fact, if you were to ask most Christians, if you could get them to be honest with you, they would acknowledge that their prayer life needs a little work. In fact, that's if they're being only partially honest. If they're being really honest, they say their prayer life needs a lot of work. And so sometimes if we want to think about how can we address this and allow our prayer lives to become a little bit more life-giving instead of just feeling like it's something that we do or something that we should have done, if we can begin to allow prayer to have a little more sense of the impact that Jesus intends for us, then I think we'll find that we'll see our prayer life and even our life begin to take on a little different feel to it. And so that's why we jump in today into the Lord's Prayer. We looked last week at how the prayer begins. And if you want to see that or you want to hear that, you can watch on our live stream. We have a recording on the Facebook if you want to check that out if you were not here last week. But I'm going to move into the second phrase, the second section here of this prayer that so many of us have heard before. But before we jump into Matthew 6:10, I want to say there's a common phrase, you've probably all heard it before, you should always be careful of what you ask for. Right? You heard that? Because you might just get it. So be careful what you ask for. I saw this cartoon, I thought it was pretty clever. Be careful what you wish for. The lady says, in her wishing over her birthday cake, right? Isn't that what you do? You wish for things before you blow your candles out? I wish my husband was really hot. Go ahead. Yeah. Be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you ask for. And today I'm going to suggest to you we need to be careful what we pray for. And I think that really factors into the Lord's Prayer, because sometimes we get the idea that the Lord's Prayer is really kind of a benign thing, and it's not. The Lord's Prayer at its core is revolutionary, not just revolutionary for our lives, but it really is revolutionary for the world we live in. And we'll see that as we get started today. In Matthew 6:10, here it is, begins with the phrase, again, very common. Jesus said these words, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." That's how he began the prayer. We talked about that last week. Then he goes into this next phrase, and this is the one I'm going to focus on today, and I think is often just over, we just blow through it. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, that's not uncommon to any of us, right? We've all heard that prayer. We've all prayed that prayer. But the question is, what does it mean? What are we praying for when we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? What are we praying when we say we want God's kingdom to come? What does that mean for us when we ask him to do that? Most of our prayers, when we get started, if we really are thinking about it honestly, our prayers begin with us, usually, don't they? Something's going on, I need help. Something's going and I want this. Something's going and I want God to do something for me in this way. But the Lord's Prayer begins quite differently. It begins with addressing God. It begins with him and hallowing his name. We talked about that, how it is that we revere, that we worship, that we take some time to praise, that we take some time to allow his presence to fill our time of prayer. And then it moves into this next phase, which is, again, not what I want, what I need, what I think God ought to do, but it is praying that now God, what God wants, what God wills, what God desires is going to begin to show itself here in my life and in the world around me. You see, it's turning taking the horse and putting it back in front of the cart instead of having the cart in front of the horse. And it's important that we put the horse in front of the cart. And this is not just because it's Kentucky Derby weekend. I'm doing horses here. It's because that's how God designed it. That prayer is to intend for us to begin to get on board with God rather than somehow trying to manipulate God to get on board with me. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying for the things that we need. God's going to invite us to do that. We'll find that later in the prayer that there's a lot has to do with what are the things that are going on that we want to bring before him. Absolutely. But that's not where we start. And why do we not start there? Anyone want to venture a guess? No? I'll tell you why. Because we by nature are selfish, self-centered individuals. And if our prayers start with selfishness and end with selfishness, we're not going to be getting where God wants us to go. We may get some of what we pray for, but we're not going to be getting what God wants out of prayer for us. And so he invites us to begin our pattern of prayer here. And so we begin to look at it. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. So what is it we're praying for here? What is it, this kingdom that we're going to do? Do we really want God's kingdom to come on earth? Do we really want God's will and God's way to begin to reveal itself? What is it? Okay, first off, it's not a prayer that we're going to get to heaven. It's not a prayer that we do hope that, but that's not what we're praying here. It's not praying that Christ will return, his second coming. That's not what this is about. When we talk about God's kingdom coming on earth as in heaven, it is about God's ways and God's will being revealed in us and through us into the world around us. This is a big, big deal. The kingdom of God, I love it the way Donald Craybill in his book, fabulous book, by the way, it's an amazing book. It's a book I used to use this book. This book is no longer one of our books, but it's called The Upside Down Kingdom by Donald Craybill. And in that book, Craybill says this, that the kingdom of God, it means a dynamic rule and reign of God. The reign involves God's intentions, authority, and ruling power. When we're praying for God's kingdom, we're praying for God's reign, his intentions, his authority, and his ruling power to be manifest, to be shown in the world around us. How many of you, as you look at the world around us, say, this world is just the way God wants it? This world is demonstrating God's authority. This world is showing God's ruling power. This world is just filled with all of God's good intentions. Yeah, they are there, but we don't see it. We see all of the world's ways. We see all of the brokenness. We see all of the sin. We see all of that comes into this world. And the Lord's Prayer begins by saying, this is what we as Christians are called to do, to partner with God, to see God's will and God's way manifest in the world around us. You know, each of us could look around and say, this is where I think it's not the way it ought to be. Can anyone see the world and see where maybe if God had his perfect will being done, it wouldn't be that way? I can see it. Everywhere you look. Everywhere you look. What we are asking for here is really two things. We are asking for a radical change in the society that we live in, but we're also asking in this prayer. This is what makes it so dangerous, that we're asking for a radical change inside ourselves. Because we don't by nature operate in kingdom principles. We've all been born into this world, raised in this society. We are raised and influenced by the cultures and the way things the world goes around. And we're influenced by how we are built and made out of this selfish, self-centered humanness that comes part and parcel with all of us. But in the kingdom of God, we learn instead of loving just ourselves, we learn to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. In the kingdom of God, we learn to find peace in the midst of tragedy, not just find victimhood. In the midst of this kingdom of God, we find that we can hunger and thirst for that which is just and which is right, rather than just what we want or what we yearn for. There is something that happens to us when we begin to pray this prayer and ask God to begin to have his way of shaping and changing us so that we're not just like everyone else in the world, but we begin to see the world through God's eyes. And when we see the world through God's eyes, we see the world differently. When we see that person walking down the street, maybe that homeless person or someone down on their luck, we don't just drive by and act as if they're invisible to us, because we are called kingdom's people. Bless you. Kingdom people, we are called to be our brother's keepers. You know, when we see the news and we hear of tragedies in places like the Ukraine or even in our inner cities, we're not called just to ignore that and say, it doesn't bother me, it doesn't affect me, it doesn't happen to me, so it doesn't matter. No, we are called to be concerned about that because we are called to be our brother's keepers. We are called to care for those around us in ways that so often we just simply ignore because we are bent by this selfishness of our human nature. And God invites us to see bigger and see beyond. You know, this past year, there's just all this stuff always going on, isn't there? There's always this conflict in the world we live in. And I know when some people were struggling with this idea of being vaccinated or not vaccinated and this whole thing, and some who are choosing not to be vaccinated thought it was really clever. Hate to say it. Don't let me offend you. I will offend you. Okay, I'll offend you. Go ahead. Said, oh, my body, my choice. And we all felt so clever saying that, right? Because we were kind of stealing something that, you know, from those who have been for the choice issue in the abortion debate. But you know that my body, my choice? Let me go out on a limb here and just say, again, I don't care where you are on the political spectrum. That is about the most un-Kingdom of God phrase ever spoken. As if saying, I'm the only thing that matters. And somehow I feel good about that. It's not about celebrating freedom. We are called for something bigger than that. We are called to be Kingdom of God people, which means caring about others more than we care about ourselves, which means standing for life, yeah, standing for life, even if it imposes something difficult upon us. It means caring about those around us, even if that causes us to feel a burden. Because for the good of all, that becomes part of what we are called to do and care for this world that we so glibly proclaim God so loved that he gave his one and only son. If God loves the world that much, he calls us to see the world that way and love the world that way as well. And it begins with us. In Matthew 13, Jesus spoke a number of parables, but one of them was this one. It comes out of verse 31, where it says, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. When Jesus talked these parables, he was trying to give us something that we could get our hands around, our minds around, because it's difficult for us to understand what it means to be kingdom people. The kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like a mustard seed, Jesus said, which a man took and planted in a field. Huh, that's kind of weird. Though the seed is the smallest of seeds, yet it grows and it becomes the largest of garden plants, becomes a tree even, so that the birds can take perch in its branches. What Jesus is saying in this little parable about how the kingdom works, he says that the kingdom of God is going to work and it's going to do grand things, but it's going to begin with small, almost imperceptible things. And that's how the kingdom works. The kingdom works by finding a way in us where we begin to show an act, something small, act of kindness to somebody else. When we stand with someone who feels invisible, when we say that anything in our world that separates us and them and somehow that we are good and the others are invalid, that is going to be separating us in ways that God does not want. And we are called to do these small acts, because it is the small things that we begin to do that begin to make the big changes in the world around us. No, this Lord's Prayer that we talk about, it allows us to recognize that God's kingdom is going to run counter to the kingdoms of this world. It's going to run counter even to our natural makeup. And what we're inviting God to do is to fundamentally and radically change me, how I see, how I think, and how I act. This isn't just a phrase that we throw out there and somehow we're going to get God's attention with it. No, this is in hopes that eventually he's going to forgive us and give us our daily bread and all the other goodies that come along with it. No, this is a recognition and an agreement that we are partnering with God because we are accepting the role of being his kingdom people, which means salt and light, different than the world, shining out for all the world to see, talking about the goodness of God and the grace of God and the profound way which God sees this world through his eyes of love, though we often are blind to it. This is our invitation for God to work in the world around us, but also to work in us and through us to reach the world around us. So as you pray this prayer this week, and I would invite you to either take it home and go and read Matthew 6, or if you know the prayer by heart, to maybe take this week to write it out and begin to take that time to pause and think about your Heavenly Father who you are addressing, and take time to worship him for who he is and what he does. And then to move into this next section here and invite him to begin to have his way with you, to begin to not only shape and change you, but to allow him to use you to effect change in the world around you. And that'll be our starting point for moving into next week. So, Father, we do come today, God, as your people, desiring to be useful to you, desiring to be used by you, desiring even to get out of our own way, Father, where our own way keeps us hemmed in to this selfish, small, little box that we have created, and we want to try to fit you in it, into it with us. Father, enable us, God, to rest in you, to trust in you, to not be trapped by the fears around us, to see you at work and to find our place of working with you. So open our eyes, God. Enable us to have time in prayer that we are able to just simply receive and be restored and challenged, God, as we move forward in Jesus' name.